Attorney General Barr tells Fox News that the FBI was spring-loaded to investigate the Trump campaign and ignored all the exculpatory evidence. We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Before the election, I think we're concerned about the motive force behind the very aggressive investigation that was launched into the Trump campaign without, you know, with a very thin, slender reed as a basis for it.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
It seemed that the Bureau was sort of spring-loaded at the end of July to drive in there and investigate a campaign, and there really wasn't much there to do that on, and that became more and more evident as they went by.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Folks, we are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And let me just tell you something. This is pretty astonishing from the Attorney General of the United States. He sat down with Brett Baer. We know part of the interview played yesterday evening. More will play tonight. That airs at 6 p.m. Eastern Time with Attorney General Barr. But he said, I mean, think about this statement. Quote, it seemed that the Bureau, that's talking about the FBI, was sort of spring-loaded at the end of July. That's before the election. To drive in there and investigate a campaign, but ignored exculpatory evidence. Right there, Dad. I mean, that is a serious accusation from the nation's top law enforcement official. I'd say it goes further than an accusation. He's the top law enforcement official. This is how he sees it.
Well, let's talk about the words he actually said. He said spring-loaded. I mean, that this thing was ready to go, even if the evidence didn't go there. And this was a pre-planned, pre-sought approach on how exactly to handle this thing. And the Attorney General, I think, is being very forthright here, as we know that the investigation by John Durham is moving forward right now. But I think we also have to be clear at what's at play and what's at stake. And what is at stake is the basis of our justice system. To start a criminal process against a presidential campaign during an election on the thinnest of thin, spring-loaded to go, I think speaks volumes.
I mean, think about that. I mean, the idea, and we want to take your calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The Attorney General said that the effort remained intense even following President Trump's election. Even as he said in the interview, it became painfully obvious there was little basis. Painfully obvious there was little basis. And then he points to what happened with Mike Flynn. The other area of concern is that after the election, even though they were closing down some of it, as we've seen in the Mike Flynn case, and say there's nothing here, for some reason they went right back at it, even at a time when the evidentiary support or claim support, like the dossier, was falling apart. It's very hard to understand why they continued to push and even make public in testimony that they had an investigation going when it was becoming painfully obvious, or should have been obvious to anyone, that there was nothing there. Nothing there.
I want to think about that.
Yeah, Dad.
Think about that. Painfully obvious that nothing was there, which should have resulted in no investigation going forward. So when we said the whole thing was a hoax, it was a fraud from the beginning, what the evidence is showing is that we were 100% correct. That's what it's showing.
So, folks, what I want to do is we're going to bring in more folks to our conversation. Andy Economo is joining us. Dan Bennett, Washington, D.C., joining us as well. My dad also with us. Taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We do have sound to play from Attorney General Barr. His reaction also to this idea of defunding the police. You know, Joe Biden finally came out and said maybe that's not such a good idea. But will that hurt him? Talk about that with Dan. Politically, with this new base of movement of radical left support that he was definitely trying to court, and maybe they went too far for him. So where does that vote go? Likely in the past, it goes nowhere. But we will get your calls, your thoughts on this, and what Attorney General Barr is letting us know about this phony Russia investigation. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Folks, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Let me remind you, if you are not watching on Facebook and Periscope, we're playing videos about Mike Flynn's case, and that's because Friday, in a very unusual move, the judge at the district court level will be represented by counsel at the Court of Appeals on his bizarre decision to try and appoint an outside counsel former judge and basically relitigate the case instead of accept the DOJ's motion to not to prosecute Flynn because of the lack of evidence, the wrongdoing, the fact that they wanted to close they found out that the FBI agents working the case, not the seventh floor, but the actual field agents, wanted to close this case years ago, and that evidence was kept, that exculpatory evidence was kept from Michael Flynn. It was even kept from top DOJ officials until they were able to uncover it. Well, we're going to have that unique situation too, Dad, where on Friday, Judge Sullivan becomes a party in the case.
It's something I've never seen before, and I'm going to defer to Andy on this. I'm sure he hasn't. I know he hasn't, because none of us have ever seen this before, where you have a judge who then hires outside counsel to represent his interests before the Court of Appeals. Now, normally when it's a Court of Appeals and there's a challenge to a judge's decision, what happens is you appeal the decision. The judge isn't a party to it. It's the appellant and the appellee. Here you have the Department of Justice and General Flynn on one side saying the motion to withdraw the guilty plea should be granted. Makes sense. Then you have the judge saying, no, it should not. And he is the party now, not in a technical sense, but he's got a counsel and he's filed briefs and he's going to make argument. Andy, that one still, between what Bill Barr said yesterday about this thing being spring-loaded from the beginning, the whole investigation of the president, to now we've got the whole scenario with General Flynn, it's going to play out live on Friday. It's a pretty unbelievable time.
It's an unbelievable situation, Jay, one that, as you correctly note, I have never noticed and seen in my life. And this spring-loaded really means something when the Attorney General of the United States says that. In other words, they were set at the touch of a finger on the trigger to blow away the president, both in his campaign and afterward. And one wonders what role Judge Sullivan has in all of this. Is he part of the spring loading? I wonder, because it's just routine. I have filed motions to dismiss criminal pleas on behalf of the government and defendants in cases in which we found there was no evidence or it was improper. And the judge simply said, well, if the government doesn't want to prosecute, then I'm not going to force the government to prosecute. The motion is granted. Judge Sullivan goes and hires a lawyer, becomes part of the case, and opposes the issuance of the writ of mandamus. What are you doing? You're part of the case now? You're going to say that you impartially can rule on General Flynn's motion? There's no way that that is possibly possible in this scenario. Or, Judge Flynn, were you part of this entire thing? Remember, Clinton appointee does not like the president. Is he perhaps part of this? Time will tell.
Yeah, but you got, you know, the irony of all of this, of course, is you have right now, we've got the Judge Flynn, the General Flynn case is going to be argued on Friday. You got Bill Barr making the very clear statement that what took place involving the whole Russia investigation was spring-loaded. And as Andy described, spring-loaded, that means it was ready to go at the push of a trigger. And then, Than, at the same time, we're about to see an unloading of subpoenas from the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Yeah, that's going to happen on Thursday, Jay. So really something every day this week, a major, major piece is going to come out on this. And look, I think one of the most important things here today, Jay, is to tie what the Attorney General is saying to evidence that we already have. I'll just give you two comments. First, when he says sort of spring-loaded at the end of July, to me, Jay, that is a direct evidence to that July 31st memo that Peter Strzok authored. His name is on it four times. I'm holding it right here. Opening Crossfire Hurricane. Remember, he's the same individual that had an insurance plan, also told Lisa Page that we're going to stop it and we're going to stop Donald Trump from being elected. That's what the Attorney General is referring to there. And then after the election, Jay, when he talks about ignoring exculpatory evidence, that's the January 4th memo by the same individual, Peter Strzok, ignoring the advice of the field office to close Crossfire Hurricane. So the Attorney General is putting the puzzle pieces together here.
You know, one of our friends, Jordan, and a friend of yours and mine and friend of the ACLJ, a former U.S. attorney, assistant U.S. attorney himself, Ted Grove sent me this because people forget this. He says it shouldn't be forgotten that President Obama picked James Comey in 2013 after giving Bob Mueller two extra years as FBI director. So then the investigation involving the president and involving Comey in that case is conducted by who? Bob Mueller.
Yeah.
You cannot make any of this up.
No, it's worse and worse and worse. I want people to listen to Attorney General Barr in his own words. This is bite number five to Fox News yesterday. There'll be more of this, too, tonight on Fox News. He'll be sharing more about this. Take a listen, bite five.
They seem to have ignored all the exculpatory evidence that was building up and continued pell-mell to push it forward. It's very hard to understand why they continued to push and even make public in testimony that they had an investigation going when it was becoming painfully obvious, or should have been obvious to anyone, that there was nothing there.
Obvious to anyone that there was nothing there. I mean, Dad, that, it just says so much that it makes the FBI look so bad, except for the fact that what we do know now is that the regular agents at the FBI, not that they're always perfect or anything, but they wanted to close this case a long time ago. And they said there was nothing there on Mike Flynn. And then they took the Mike Flynn case that they said there was nothing there on, and the seventh floor of the FBI turned Crossfire Razor into Crossfire Hurricane, targeting the president and his campaign, all on the basis of nothing. That's what's so I think disheartening for people who want to have at least some faith that our major government institutions, especially that do intelligence and law enforcement, do things for the right reason and try as hard to get it right.
Well, I think, look, the fact of the matter is this, and I think this is true, that if you look at where we are now and what we know now, it's what Rod Rosenstein said. If he knew now, what he knows now, if he knew it then, he would have never signed the FISA warrant. Now, that may be self-justification, but it makes a very real point. I mean, and the real point is you've reached a point in the process where from the beginning to the end, this thing was corrupt. And then we have all the in-between. So fortunately, John Durham's going to get to the bottom of this, and I think that's going to be good for the American people, and I expect that to be sooner rather than later. But let's be clear, Andy, the fact of the matter is, and we'd lived this three-year investigation, and Bill Barr's right when you're talking about it was trigger ready, let's reiterate for everybody what that really means, because I think it's important for people to understand.
Well, when you say spring loaded, that means that you've got a slender reed on the trigger, and all you've got to do is just lightly touch it, and off the gun goes and sprays all the bullets or the ammunition all over the place. In other words, this was not anything that was going to be done in a studious way, in a methodical way based on evidence, but I mean, they were ready to go. At the pull of a trigger, they were ready to use the most lightest touch on the gun in order to aim and get the president of the United States, both as a candidate and after he had been elected.
And that's despite the fact, Jordan, as you just said, that the FBI field office that was actually in charge of the Flynn investigation said no violations of law.
No, there.
Case should be closed.
They did a full investigation. There was nothing there, nothing to move forward with. And yet Peter Strzok ignored that, took it. Because he said the seventh floor wanted to keep it going and actually expand it. Now we know the expansion was from Crossfire Razor to Crossfire Hurricane. Now, this other big news right now, Attorney General Barr, we've got calls coming in about it, so I want to play this. He commented on this as well with Brett Baer. This is the idea of this whole defund the police movement that's going on across the country. He got asked about it. Let's listen by eight.
Today, the police chiefs, the rank-and-file officers, understand the need for change, and there has been great change. And I think defunding the police, holding the entire police structure responsible for the actions of certain officers is wrong, and I think it's dangerous to demonize police.
This is that. Again, now, Joe Biden has come out and opposed this move. The Minneapolis City Council is moving forward right now to defund the police. I mean, I think, again, this is going to be an interesting political topic because Joe Biden, then, he wants this vote. Oh, he wants this vote so bad. But if he won't go this far, which I think even he is indicating he won't, this vote may just not show up.
Jordan, what a schism inside the Democrat Party. What a divide. I mean, you have Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Manchin coming out against this. Jordan, Joe Manchin called it stupid, crazy, and people that support this nuts. But Jordan, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar, they are for this, and that's where the energy is inside Joe Biden's base. So look, how is he going to square that circle? I'm not quite sure he's going to be able to, if I'm going to be honest with you.
All right, folks, we come back. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. A lot of calls coming in. We got one line open, though. So if you want your question, your comment on all this, 1-800-684-3110. We'll play Joe Biden's sound on defunding the police. 1-800-684-3110. The Flynn judge, he's in court. Friday, we've got this new information sound from Bill Barr on the entire origins of the Russia investigation being really just a complete farce that was spring-loaded regardless of what evidence they had. We're going to be taking your calls and your comments. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. One of the first calls that came in today was this idea, and it's certainly being discussed around the country. Some people think it's just, like me, just totally absurd to defund and abolish the police, but it's getting some traction in cities like Minneapolis. I want to go to Robert's call in Maryland on line one. Robert, we're starting to see some of the major party candidates outside of President Trump weigh in, and some formers too, like Bernie Sanders, saying, no, he thinks it'd be dumb not to have police. So maybe that upsets his liberal base too. But Robert, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Jordan, and hi, Jay. I wanted to ask the both of you, do you believe that this call for defunding of police departments and abolishing the police departments is originating within the Democratic Party itself, as well as within groups such, for example, as Black Lives Matters and Antifa? A follow-up question to that is, I wanted to ask the both of you, do you believe that Antifa and Black Lives Matter also serve as a paramilitary arm for the Democratic Party, much as the Ku Klux Klan has?
Well, let me take a stab at it first and then let Jordan go. I, as it relates to the whole defunding of the police, I think that this was Black Lives Matter and probably Antifa, because the Democratic Party seems to be running away from it really as quick as they can. I mean, they're trying to get away from this really quickly. So I don't think you have a situation where this was their idea, because their leading candidates, and even Bernie Sanders, who would you think would be more sympathetic to their view, is saying, this is not a very good idea. So, number one. Number two, look, I think Antifa, not so much Black Lives Matter, but I think Antifa is, we know they're an anarchist group, Jordan, so they engage in anarchy. And this would certainly bring anarchy if you defunded the police.
You get rid of the police, you're going to have anarchy, because, or you're going to have vigilante justice. And that's what I think the Black Lives Matter part goes in, because they've been talking about having these community groups that do the policing instead of actual police. Sounds to me, again, a little bit like Black Panthers, and that does not turn out well for everyone, because it's like pick and choose who gets justice, who gets treated well, instead of a police force which is supposed to treat everyone equally. Does it always do that? No, but its mission is to treat everyone equally, and there's mechanisms to fix those problems. So when I keep hearing these community groups, like vigilante groups, replacing the police, I think of the problems that the Black Panthers posed, not even so much of ideas, but what it became.
Well, I think, remember the Guardian Angels back in the 80s? The police were overwhelmed, so the Guardian Angels came in to try to assist.
That was during the riots.
Yeah, during the riots. So here's the thing, though, and I think this is important for people to understand. I really want to defer to Andy on this. So what happened in the last 2 weeks was America's conscience was shaken once again. And it was shaken once again because we saw a situation where an individual was murdered in broad daylight by a police officer who choked the guy to death by putting his knee, Mr. Floyd, on Mr. Floyd's neck and killed him. So there is no excuse for that. There is no, we just need some additional training. Okay, this is a bad actor. Now, there are bad actors in every group and every department, but there are a way to go after bad actors. It does not justify what happened to him, and I understand why the people are on the streets protesting. I completely 100% get that. I, of course, condemn the violence, and that looks like it's subsided significantly. But, Andy, there's a way to handle that situation, and that is prosecute the officer, but really prosecute them, which is what's happening here.
Well, I agree, Jay, and that is the solution to the problem of the outrageous and unlawful use of excessive force in effecting an arrest or an interrogation or any other kind of policing, is you take those officers and you either, first of all, you train them so that they don't act in that fashion, but if you get a renegade or you get a rogue, like this one obviously was, who doesn't know when to let up, you prosecute them for whatever the crime may be. In this case, I I think it's a species of murder in Minnesota called second-degree murder because there was no malice here. But you prosecute them and you imprison them and you get rid of them from the police force. But you don't, at the same time, throw away the entire police force and have a policeless community in the hope that that is going to solve the problem. That is going to exacerbate the problem. It is going to make it worse because then everybody is on his own to secure himself or herself by getting their own vigilantes and police forces to stand outside their house. And when there is a robbery, who do you call? You got to call your own guy to come in and save you? That's not the way that America works. That's not the way that any civilized society works.
So, Dan, let me ask you this, and that is, we know what Joe Biden has said, and we should play that in a moment, but what is the reaction on Capitol Hill right now, and what are you hearing?
Yeah, there's a real divide, Jay. I mean, some, like Joe Biden and Speaker Pelosi, are trying to tamp down this idea of disbanding, defunding police departments, and I think maybe that's a political motive there, Jay, because there's a couple of layers behind the bill that Speaker Pelosi introduced. If they were after a policy improvement, policy reform, Jay, there's actually not a whole lot of daylight between Republicans and Democrats on the Hill on this. Cracking down on certain tactics, I think that would be something that would be debated. But if the goal is anarchy, Jay, then a proposal for eliminating the police department would be a terrific place to start. And by the way, there are members inside the Democrat Party, I mentioned this before, but AOC and Ilhan Omar are for that, Jay. So I think you have to ask the groups that are advocating for this. Are you after policy reform? Because if you are, this is a moment. You can bring both parties in and you can accomplish that. But if you're after anarchy, you don't want the bill that Speaker Pelosi just introduced. You want to incite what you saw in Minneapolis and what you're seeing in New York, and you want to see community-based overthrow of police departments. And Jay, I will just tell you, the left in Washington, D.C. is pretty equally divided between those two camps.
Mm. Jordan, how does it play out politically?
You know, I think this is how Joe Biden, let's take a listen. This is how he's trying to say it by 20.
You've seen the Black Lives Matter painted on that street just outside the White House. Some demonstrators added equals defund the police. Do you support defunding the police?
No, I don't support defunding the police. I support conditioning federal aid to police based on whether or not they meet certain basic standards of decency and honorableness and, in fact, are able to demonstrate they can protect the community and everybody in the community.
So he's tried to, I think, have it both ways. He's not outright saying defunded 100%. What he's saying is condition the aid. Now, what does that look like? You could say that. It sounds nice. That could be very extreme. That could be very difficult for police departments to meet. It could be kind of just word service to this community. That's what we don't know yet. And that's where Joe Biden is stuck right now. Joe Biden doesn't have very many plans, Than, and that's his biggest issue. When he talks, sometimes even there when he sounds somewhat coherent, you realize there's not much there behind that. There's that would take a lot of flushing out to get to an actual policy position, and I think he's still trying to figure out where that policy should be just months before the general election.
I think you're correct about that, Jordan. I actually think there's another layer to it as well. I mean, if you make it socially unacceptable or socially difficult for good people to enter law enforcement, what do you accomplish, Jordan? You accomplish the same exact thing without actually having to pass the policy that defunds the police department. And what Joe Biden said there, if you're a good person that wants to make a difference in the community and the community is screaming that they don't want you, are you going to enter the force? I think probably not. I think Joe Biden should be asked that follow-up question.
No, I mean, this is a huge issue. It's going to be a part of the campaign, whether or not they're both saying don't defund it. But what does that look like? It looks, I think, very different to Joe Biden than it does to Donald Trump. Now, both talk about reforming. What does that mean? I think it'll look very different when you talk to both of them and hear from both of them. You got to flush that out. But Joe Biden is really the one who's got the most to lose, because if he totally loses this new protest vote, he's going to have a tough time energizing a new base to help him try and get over the edge. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. A lot to talk about, lots of issues. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Here's who Joe Biden is dealing with at his party. People like Ilhan Omar. Now, we haven't played sound from her lately. It's been so radical. But now, her fairly radical comments are gaining some steam in her own community in Minneapolis, where the city council is moving forward with disbanding divesting from or getting rid of the police. Take a listen to her. This is at a rally just yesterday. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, bite one.
I will never stop saying not only do we need to disinvest in police, but we need to completely dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department. The Minneapolis Police Department is rotten to the root. And so when we dismantle it, we get rid of that cancer and we allow for something beautiful to rise. And that reimagining allows us to figure out what public safety looks like for us.
This is someone who fled Mogadishu, Somalia, when complete anarchy took over. And there aren't active police that you can't trust and corrupt governments. And you come to America. And now you come to America. And yes, there was a bad incident in your city. Horrendous. Condemned worldwide. Condemned by every side of the political persuasion. But your response as someone who fled Mogadishu and fled Somalia is, let's get rid of all law enforcement and then just figure it out as it comes? I mean, Dad, that is some scary stuff.
I'm pulling it up exactly because, again, her favorite word, disinvest. So divest, sanction, boycott. This is, sometimes it's about Israel. Today it's about the police department. Yep. And the main candidates are going to say no. But there is a sizable portion of the Democratic base that thinks this is okay. Let me tell you how ridiculous this is. You know, they say we're going to come up with something to replace it with. Community patrols, maybe, or voluntary patrols of citizens.
Neighborhood watch.
That have no arrest authority, by the way. How's that going to happen when you have a domestic violence situation or a juvenile that's in distress or a robbery that's going on in Minneapolis or someplace else? So for everyone that's posting all these statements on Facebook and others, think about what that alternative is. No one's really shown me, Andy, what the alternative is going to be to a police department. It needs to be a well-trained police department. It needs to be an accountable police department. But what is the actual alternative here? We've had constables, sheriffs, shire reefs is what they were in Britain. We've had them for literally hundreds and hundreds of years. What's the replacement? It's not going to be the military.
No, it can't be the military because the law prohibits the military from enforcing the civil and criminal laws of jurisdictions. It's going to be anarchy, Jay. It's the first thing you do in a domestic relations call, and I've handled a lot of domestic relations assault and aggravated assault, sexual assault, rape cases of this thing. The first thing that one of the people who is involved does is call 911. That's the police, by the way. It's not a vigilante group. It's not a bunch of people standing around outside, community helpers who have no arrest powers. Get the police over here immediately. Help stop the situation that is going on and let's restore order. So that's where you go to. So when she talks about we can get rid of that cancer and we allow, listen to this childish nonsense, we allow for something beautiful to arise. What are you talking about? What a foolish, ignorant woman to make a statement like that. We allow something beautiful to arise, such as what?
Anarchy.
Yeah, anarchy in the streets, destruction. You have groupthink, you have group thought. Minorities won't be protected. But of course, they think they're now in the majority, people like Ilhan Omar, and that they'll be impose their will on others. But you point out the fact that what happens when there's a violent crime? What happens when there's a crime involving guns, weapons, people losing their lives, domestic abuse, child abuse, rape? I mean, the list goes on. Car theft, car chases, businesses being robbed. You're just going to have your community organizers fix that? You want to rely on that? We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are going to start taking your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. So we're setting the stage. You've had these comments from Attorney General Barr. He is more of that interview will play. Some played last night, more will play tonight on Fox News with Brett Baer about the origins of the Russia investigation, just how off base it was, lacking evidence, not using the exculpatory evidence, that they were basically, again, spring loaded to drive in there and investigate the Trump campaign. So we'll have even more of that in his comments on that tomorrow. He said, quote, it became painfully obvious there was little basis for any of this investigation. And it included, of course, when it got to Mike Flynn's case. But I want to start taking people's calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's start with Chris in Nevada. This is an important call because Judge Sullivan in the Flynn case will find himself in court on Friday in the circuit court in D.C. He'll be represented by counsel. So, again, a very unique situation. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Since Judge Sullivan has inserted himself into Flynn's case, can't Flynn's attorneys propound discovery to Judge Sullivan, and wouldn't that cause him to recuse himself?
Well, that's a great question, because one of the issues that we have here, and it's a big one, is you have the judge is supposed to be the neutral arbitrator. The judge. They're not supposed to be the prosecutor. They're not supposed to be the plaintiff or the defendant. They are supposed to be the neutral arbitrator. So what happens here when the judge almost becomes like a party, which is pretty much here? I've asked this question, Andy. How does the District of Columbia Court of Appeals, a very prestigious court of appeals, not say at a minimum, motion should be granted, and the judge should be recused? Emmett Sullivan cannot serve as the judge of this case. He should.
No,
he
Jay,
has
he
to go, and the order should be entered.
Yeah, the caller has a real innovative idea. If you're going to be a party to the case, then maybe you ought to have discovery, and let's take your deposition, and let's ask you some questions about what precipitated your action in not vacating the plea. That's a very good innovative idea, and he would make a very good lawyer coming up with some very interesting concepts. But I don't think that's going to happen. What's going to happen is exactly as you say. The district court will say the plea is to be vacated and you are to be recused because you have expressed your opinion, notwithstanding all your contrary protestations. You have already reached an opinion with respect to the motion in this case, and you ought not to be, and Sullivan should know this himself, having been a judge since Clinton appointed him, you should not be the judge adjudicating the motion. So it's either recusal or without recusal,
right,
granting the motion and letting the mandate issue.
100%.
All right.
No question.
Let's go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Max called Texas on line 3. Max, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello. I've had a question regarding the Flynn case, regarding why the original judge, Judge Contreras, was recused from the case.
Yeah.
I've read
some articles.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead and finish.
I've read some articles, and I never have really gotten a real definitive answer regarding why he was recused.
Let me help you there. So he recused himself, and he recused himself in part because he was neighbors, I believe, with Peter Strzok, the agent that was engaged in the Flynn investigation. So at that point, it would have been inappropriate for the judge to maintain a bearing on the case. In other words, continue the case.
He also served as
the judge did the right thing.
Also served as a FISA court judge.
He
and
sure
may,
did.
May, in fact, we don't know because the way the FISA process was secretive, may, in fact, have dealt with Michael Flynn's FISA warrant, the applications and things
Correct.
Like that. So I think he did the right thing early on. And remember, Peter Strzok in text messages was bragging about his relationship with this judge. So this judge did the right thing and got out of this case. Then we were left with Judge Sullivan. Things were going along. And now Judge Sullivan has created one of, Andy, I'd say the most unique and bizarre legal. This will be great for law schools one day to put this fact pattern together in an exam and have people figure out, hey, what happens next?
Yeah.
Oh, the judge gets a private counsel and he appoints his friend. Whoever gets that should definitely get an A+.
Yeah, this definitely is a bar examination question or a law school question. What do you do when a judge doesn't want to rule on a motion, so he brings his friend in, who's already prejudiced himself by expressing an opinion, Judge Gleason, and he says, you help me work this out. And then the Court of Appeal says, well, what are you doing, Judge Sullivan? And he says, oh, my God, I've got to make a ruling. I've got to make a decision. I got to go get a lawyer. And he goes in and brings in a criminal defense lawyer, well-known in Washington, D.C. What about a jumbled-up mess? This is definitely something that the bar examiners would be very interested in law students trying to sort out. Now, however, it falls to the D.C. Circuit to make that sort out.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. I think this is an interesting call, too, because, you know, we've got different kinds of police departments. One policing department, the sheriff's department, specifically mentioned in the Constitution. Marcia in Mississippi has a question about that online too.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. My grandson is a deputy sheriff for a county, and I have heard lots of things about disbanding city police, but I haven't heard anything about, of course, county sheriff's departments. Are they just going to have to carry the load by themselves or what?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because, Dad, these city council moves wouldn't affect the constitutional provision that requires counties to elect sheriffs, and it's Article 9 of the Constitution. So that does put an interesting question, then how much of that load would then, if Minneapolis was to move forward this way, would fall on the sheriff's department? They would not have the ability to do this for the entire county.
No, and in some communities, the sheriff is actually serving a lot of the same exact functions as the police department. I say that because in rural counties, you will see that the sheriff, where they don't have a police department, they will have the sheriff's playing that role. sheriffs also play a critical role in school safety, which is one of the school resource officers. So to put this burden now on the sheriffs, I think would be ridiculous. But you're right. We have a provision in the Constitution that talks about sheriffs. We don't have one that talks about police because in the founding, the sheriff was the law enforcement. So they cannot disband. I mean, they could try. It's going to go nowhere, though. None of this goes anywhere. I want people to understand this. Even in Minneapolis, at the end of the day, they will have to have a police department. Mark my word.
Yeah, maybe
there is no way they could do this without a police department. Impossible.
I wonder if some of this is a move to get around police unions so that they could get new leadership in there, maybe rename it, but still have a police department and the resources. Of course, I think if Ilhan Omar had her way, what would blossom out of that rooting rot of the Minneapolis police department would probably be Sharia law. She'd love that. We could have Sharia enforcement going on in certain neighborhoods of Minneapolis. But that being said, I tend to agree with you that this, some of this is politics that's going on behind the scenes as well. 1-800-684-3110. Continue to keep your phone calls coming in. We're going to continue to take calls as well. And we've got another segment coming up. But let's take Cindy's call. She's in Minnesota on line one. Cindy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Good morning. Say, a question regarding that. I'm wondering about the city charter. Isn't it part of that charter to become a city that they have to provide and fund for a police department?
Usually that's the case. I mean, that's the kind of the basic responsibility of local government is law enforcement, what's called public safety. And I think that's what why some of these highly charged statements being made by people like Ilhan Omar and others, some of the organizers, some of the marches, are not thinking through what that means. Could you imagine Los Angeles without a police department? I mean, think about this for a moment. Chicago with no police department. Manhattan, no NYPD. I mean, I just want you to think about that for a moment. And what are we going to put in its place? Social workers and community organizers. That's not going to work out too well. Now, Thayer, let me quickly go to you on this. Is there anything in these proposed bills coming out of the House that look at any of these issues at all?
That's the irony, Jay. Just a minute ago, you said it's not going to go anywhere. You want proof of that? This new bill that Speaker Pelosi just rolled out called Justice and Policing Act. Jay, it doesn't do any of it. I mean, it talks about banning chokeholds and lowering qualified immunity and creating a national database for police officers that have had misdeeds. But Jay, nothing about disbanding the police. So I think that's the proof of what you're saying right there. The other thing that's interesting, Jay, if you played that out for all those cities you talked about, you know what they'd have to do more often? They'd have to call in those evil federal law enforcement agencies, the National Guard, FBI, ATF, ICE. How is that going to play in a city like Washington, D.C.? We don't have a police department, so we're going to call in the feds.
It doesn't. I mean, if this is it's nonsense. Go ahead, Jordan.
All right, folks. Final segment coming up. We start any questions you have, any phone calls you have. Again, 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, share this broadcast with your friends and family. Thousands of people are watching the broadcast that way. It's a great way to share it with friends and family, especially as some people across the country still facing quarantine, still not able to get back to work. So do that. Share on Facebook and Periscope. And as always, we encourage you, be part of the broadcast. Call us now, 1-800-684-3110. You still have time to be part of our final segment and stay up to date with what we're doing at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
So, for instance, in Minneapolis, 9 of the city council's 15 members favor defunding. That's a majority. So we've looked at what it would actually take for this to happen. So the mayor and the council, they have to follow their charter. Their charter requires the establishment of a police force and funding for it. Now, the mayor has the ability to create the police, but would have no budget for the police without the council. So you have to have both. So the city manager said for defunding to actually happening, the Minneapolis city charter would have to be changed. There's two ways to do that. A proposed amendment would need a unanimous approval by council members and the mayor. Well, they don't have that because only 9 of the 15 members of the city council support the defunding. Or it could be put on the ballot for a vote in the next election. The clock's running for that for November because it would have to be approved to be on the ballot no later than mid-July to be on the ballot by mid-November. And the charter stipulates for Minneapolis that it takes 51% of the vote to pass. So that's how you would actually disband the police, specific to Minneapolis, by the way, we're talking about. It's a much more complicated process. The quickest process would be if you had unanimous support on the city council and from the mayor. They don't have that. They have a majority, so is that they could get probably a something on the ballot, but they'd have to take action within a month and then see how the voters actually vote. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Andy in Florida on line 5. This is interesting. Andy, welcome to JSEC Live. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my. I had a wild idea. What if the police, just to show how important they are, why don't they just go on strike and show these, okay, you want to defund us? You want anarchy? Here you go. Now I'll see what happens.
Yeah, look, I think that would be terrible for the communities, to be honest. I think this is a very serious thing. And while you can, you know, the unions could try to, I don't think they would do that because you're putting so many people in harm's way. I mean, we just played, and I know we don't have, I probably don't have the clip for our radio audience, but there was an interview on CNN between Allison Camerota and one of the organizers. And Allison Camerota said, well, what if someone's trying to break in my house? What do I do? And the woman's answer was, the organizer's answer was, well, I understand you. I thought about that, but that's part of privilege. You have a, you've only been able to get help because you have a privilege. This is ridiculous. Because let me tell you something. In every community, there are active police issues where the police are involved in investigations and preventative measures. And Andy, we do need to, anybody that's a bad apple needs to be fully prosecuted to the full extent of the law. I don't think anybody questions it. But the idea that there could be no police, and I've got a question for Than too, is devastating.
Well, I can't imagine a society that is so lawless as not to have law enforcement officers. And, Jay, I find it very interesting in you going through the list of the cities in which these defund the police have gained momentum. Los Angeles, Chicago, Minneapolis, New York, Nashville. What party controls those cities? I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's the Democrats who do. So let's look at that. How are they going to run away from an issue that their riotous base is screaming and wanting to put into implementation? No, that's not the answer. The answer is vigorous prosecution of the bad apples and weeding them out, not doing away with law enforcement. We've never been without a police force. We need a police force, but we need one that is competent, responsible, and knows the rules.
All right, folks, 1-800-684.
Hey, Jordan, I had a question for Than. Can I wanted to run ahead. This to Than. I didn't mean to interrupt you there. But, hey, Than, so, you know, I think about the law enforcement that we have in Washington, right? We are Capitol Hill Police, Supreme Court Police, Metro Police, Secret Service. I mean, it's a full panoply of police support and protection, which is a great thing. So if this thing gains no traction within the Democratic Party and just kind of dies out, which may be the political consequence of this. What was the whole purpose? I mean, was this a real discussion or was this just political grandstanding?
I think it was political grandstanding. And the reason for that is, Jay, if they were after reforms, there would have been a discussion between the parties before this bill was rolled out so that they would have a chance of enactment. What you said earlier, that it's going absolutely nowhere, is 100% true. And I would just tell you that, Jay, I think there's a parallel between what's happening in Minneapolis and what's happening right now in the Joe Biden campaign, because leading means telling you what the alternative is. And look, the duty inside of the Minneapolis City Council to secure the community would remain if they abolish the police, but they have not come up with a plan with what would replace it. And that's the same thing on the federal level, whether it's Joe Biden or Speaker Pelosi. If there is defunding across the nation of local police enforcement, what law enforcement is going to take the place? All we've heard is a statement that a beautiful thing will rise. Jay, it is the duty of the leader, the person proposing it, to tell you what that beautiful thing is. You have to weigh what you have against what would be replacing it. And at this point, you haven't seen anything on either of these levels about what that alternative is.
You know, we talked about yesterday what it was like in Montreal. It was a Harvard professor wrote as example when the Montreal Police Department went on strike, and how scary it was, how dangerous it was, and that this idea, because we had the caller ask, what about a strike? People's lives would be at risk, even if it was a temporary strike. I mean, there'd be serious crimes committed, bad people that would take advantage of the situation. Regular kind of incidents. Remember, you know, if an ambulance is called, police show up. If there's fire departments needed, police show up to secure the scene as well. Sometimes there's cause for them to be there as well. Let me take a final call of the day to answer kind of the Flynn question too, since this is coming up on Friday. We've also got these subpoenas that can be issued later this week as well. Phil in Maryland online too. Phil, final call of the day. You're on the air.
Great. Nice to be on the show. Jay, I appreciate your show a lot. There's a concept called dirty hands in the court, bringing to the court dirty hands. A drug dealer that has his drug money stolen cannot go to court and claim theft and get away with it. If the powers that be bring to the FISA court dirty hands with a dossier that they know is challengeable or not even accurate, can dirty hands be claimed in a court situation such as this with the FISA court?
In this situation, Dad, we in evidence, we call it fruit of the poisonous tree, not dirty hands, because you're not filing to get something like drug money that you don't have a right to get because it's illegal to have. It's evidentiary. It's fruit of the poisonous tree.
Yeah, but you know what's so interesting here? Andy, I'll go to you on this. But you know what's so interesting? It is called the doctrine of the fruit of the poisonous tree. You know what, though? There was no fruit from the tree. Nothing, Andy.
This was the fruit of the fig tree that was cursed by Jesus and never bore fruit again, coming back to life again from the Bible in the words of Rod Rosenstein, through the intercessions of our great Abraham Lincoln, Robert Mueller, of James Comey. It's the resurrection of things that don't exist. That's the nonsense of this. There is no poisonous tree because there is no fruit. And the fruit is rotten. It really is. And these things should be stopped, and the courts should punish these people who brought these contumacious acts and these lies and falsehoods before them.
You know, folks, there's a lot to watch this week. So with Judge Sullivan, you know, you think about it, and you think about the days. It's how much we're being faced with in the country right now on a daily basis. It can sometimes be hard to fully comprehend. That's why we try to break it down for you and also cover stories that might not be getting as much attention as they should. So we'll see what Bill Barr says tonight on Fox News as well. We'll have that for you tomorrow. Check out ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.